Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is back on his famed podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And the mighty sage is here, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, the baron of the breakers himself, Ira Kaufman. We're presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's not a joke. They're a family-owned dealership. Third generation, Ira. You know what that means. That means they've been around a long, long time.
It's about as long as I've been in this business, Stevie. I'll tell you that.
There you go. 60 years, actually, for Bill Curry Ford. So you've been in it a little bit longer in the business than they've been around. BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. They still got some vehicles from 2024. Not a ton. Still got some that you can get
deals on those.
Up to $20,000 off the remaining 2024s. Don't mess around. Check out their website. Transparent pricing. They got used vehicles, new promotions. They've got the Ira Kaufman discount. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, he keeps that in his pocket. All you got to do is ask for Sean or email him or go into the dealership 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Check out their mobile service. It's fantastic. They've got loaner vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, later we'll talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.com is something you need in your favorites as storm season approaches.
That is one growing company, Stephen.
And they get all their fleet vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. How about that? So
a little symbiosis, I think, Steve. Is that the word?
I don't know if that's a word, Ira, but it sounds good, and we're going to go with it. All right. So, guys, I want to dive deep on a subject here. Ira, Lee, and don't change the subject on me, Ira.
Can I make an opening statement?
I am now stepping aside for your opening statement.
Lee, I say this with all humility. This goes out to anybody that was driving on the Florida Turnpike North Tuesday afternoon. You ready? 1, 2, 3. What the hell are you people doing? How are you driving? I'm going 80. They want to go 85. I'm going 83. They want to go 89. I can't get rid of these people, Lee. And, of course, truck after freaking truck. After freaking truck in the right lane. So yeah. If I swing around to the left lane to get around these trucks, some guy's on my ass. Get out of the left lane. Well, wait a minute. Let me get past the truck. Give me a break, guys. I'm telling you, Steve, by the time I got home on Tuesday, I was exhausted. I was freaking exhausted. I guess I'm not used to these kind of drives, but, boy, that Florida Turnpike, not to mention State Road 60, Yeehaw Junction,
is it?
Lake Wales, Bartow. Oh, man, Steve, that's my message. Lay off my bumper over there. Give me some space. Mm-hmm. I always give space to the guy in front of me. Give me a little space.
I remember in Driver's Ed, the instructor, I can picture everything right now. The instructor told me, what is the safest speed to drive?
The safest speed to drive? Don't tell me he said the speed limit. 5 miles over the speed limit?
Nope.
All right, what is it, Lee?
The flow of traffic. Traffic's going 90, you go 90.
Jeez.
You don't feel safe going 90, get off the road.
What if you want to be in the right lane or something? Can you be in the right lane?
You can be anywhere you want as long as you do the flow of traffic. If you're uncomfortable with the flow of traffic, don't feel safe, get off the road.
All right.
So I had this flashback when you were saying, give me a break, I'm going 85. Well, if someone's on your ass, then it means you do 90.
I don't like tailgaters, Steve. I don't like tailgaters. You've been known to tailgate.
Oh, I was waiting for him to say that.
It bothers me. I see them coming from a mile away. No, he's got something on his mind over here.
All right, Ira, now that we've completed the Florida Highway Patrol segment of the podcast.
You said you wanted to delve into a subject very deeply.
I don't want you to drive me off the subject. Okay, that's all I'm just asking up front.
All right.
So we referenced on our last podcast, as we sat there at the owners' meetings.
And we're very happy to have Lee back on the podcast, by the way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So Killer Instinct, this was something that Todd Bowles brought up at the owners' meetings. He said that his team needs more of a killer instinct. He said we need to blow teams out when we can, and we need to win the division without it coming down to the last week. So I want you to dive a little deeper on that, Ira, and then Lee can give his thoughts on that. Now that you've had some time to reflect, what is he really saying? Who is he calling out? Is he referencing himself? Is he just a guy who came off self-scouting and realized, you know what? We went into week 18. We needed to win. because if we lost and if Atlanta won against Carolina, we would have lost the division. And we came out and we're trailing late in the game to the slimy Saints, the tanking Saints, the quarterbackless Saints, the coach fired Saints. Did that just get in his craw? I don't know what he means, but I'm asking you.
All right. The first thing I'll say, Lee, is he's talking about blowing people out. It's kind of a rarity in the National Football League. Most games are within 7 points, and the league is very proud of that. Mm-hmm. They put out the stats every year. Look how close these games are. I don't think that's feasible, you know, that you're going to have 6 blowout wins. That's not feasible.
No.
So these games are tight, and, Lee, I got to tell you, my first reaction to when he talked about Killer Instinct, he either was talking about this or he should have been talking about it,
uh-oh,
and I think it should have been directed to the defense. I think the defense should have the killer instinct.
Anyone in
make
particular?
Make the big stop.
Anyone in particular?
No.
No,
no, I don't think so.
Oh, I thought
so.
You were going to go somewhere. Okay.
And, of course, part of that is his coaching. He's got to wear that. That's his side of the ball. Lee, they did a bad job of closing games out on defense.
Outside of maybe the Chargers.
And of course, the classic example was the playoff game. The classic example. Don't let Washington drive the field for the freaking winning field goal. Don't let them do it. And they couldn't stop them. Don't let the Chiefs drive the field in overtime. Don't let the Falcons drive the field in overtime. If he wasn't talking about the defense, Lee, I say shame on Bowles. What do you want Liam Cohn and his side of the ball to do? They scored 29.5 points.
They were one of the best offenses in the history of this franchise.
I think he was talking about the defense, Lee.
Well, it's interesting on a couple of levels. You know, you were saying the Bucs were lousy at closing out games on defense. Overall, I'd absolutely agree with you. But weren't there 3 signature wins? Didn't the defense do just that? Chargers, Eagles, Lions. Lions, they played a hell of a game, the defense. That game, the way they played defense, that was aggression. That was killer instinct. That's interesting. He says killer instinct, and you say, well, you know, that can't happen in the NFL with regularity.
You mean the blowouts?
Yeah, blowouts. Could Bowles possibly be pulling a Vince Lombardi here? What I mean by that is Lombardi said, we're going to chase perfection, knowing full well we won't catch it. But in the process, we'll get excellence.
Yeah, that's a great line by Lombardi.
Is that sort of a Lombardi, like, we're going to have a killer instinct, we're going to have blowouts? No, you're not going to get a blowout every week, but you'll get your share.
Steve, the fact is, when the smoke cleared, they won the division by 2 games. I mean, they did. That's a fact. So, you know, I don't know how many division winners, the other 7 division winners, won their division by more than 2 games.
Yeah.
Not many. The NFL's a tight league, Steve. The Bucs don't have an overwhelming abundance of talent compared to 31 other teams. They don't. They're not the L.A. Dodgers of the National Football League. And by the way, Lee.
That sticks in his craw.
Lee, what are they going to win, 115 games? I mean, this is ridiculous.
I gave up playing baseball when it went all stat geek.
Steve, I hope, for Bowles' sake, that he was talking about the defense growing a pair and closing out games strong. I don't have a lot of problems with this offense.
So what players was he referring to? No players? 0? Is that what you're saying?
I think he's talking about a unit. I'm not sure he's talking about individual players. You think he's focused on Logan Hall?
I got a lot of thoughts.
Who actually played halfway decent.
Yeah, halfway decent.
You know what? In FYI, you know, we're talking about killer instinct. That debacle up in Atlanta. I mean, Lavonnie David got the pick with under 2 minutes.
Yes.
That's killer instinct. The offense puked on themselves.
The ball he never should have picked off. Should have known.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Never should have picked it off. If he bats it down, they probably win the game.
And the one.
But,
the one,
you know, Mr. got to have turnovers.
And
know?
The one blemish on Bucky Irving's brilliant rookie season.
Yeah, that one blemish. You're right.
One blemish.
All right, so, Sage, you don't think he's talking about players. Lee, who do you think he's talking about? What do you think he's talking about?
If he's
about?
Talking about a player, it should now, be Mayfield, now, but you can't go on. You can't.
Again, he has
Mayfield.
A killer.
Again, remember, he said, we got to blow teams out. We can't let it come down to the final week. What do you think he's talking about?
He's got
to
be talking about his defense. The defense was terrible. His defense was terrible. Pass defense in particular. Terrible.
In particular.
I mean, how can he be saying that about the offense? The offense was dynamite.
They didn't make big stops last year, Steve, for the most part. They didn't make the big stops. They didn't do it. Look at the Washington playoff game, Lee. How many times did Daniels convert on 3rd down, 4th down in the second half of that game? The biggest reason that the fans were on Bowles for not going for 2 against Kansas City was they didn't trust the Buck defense to stop the Chiefs in overtime. That was the big reason.
Well, yes and no. I it's not so much they didn't trust the Bucks defense. They had that much respect for 15. Any other quarterback, different story.
Yeah.
That's 15 on the other side of the field.
Well, 15 didn't scare the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I can tell you that.
No, he didn't.
Because he was on the run, right?
Now, what was the question you asked, Steve?
Was he talking about players? And what players?
Well,
for killer instinct.
I hate to say it because I've been mostly a defender of this guy, even though I'm fed up with him, Jamel Dean.
Now, wait a minute. Don't get me on the Jamel Dean hit list, Lee.
I mean, I like Jamel
Dean. Is that fair to pick on one guy? I don't think that's fair, Lee.
Okay, fair. That's not fair. But I mean, he's not innocent. But you're right. That's not fair to pick on him when, you know, where these sacks come from. All summer long, last summer, we heard about those, you know, Pro Bowl practice squad players. And that dominated Tristan Wirfs in practice. You just didn't see it. And then we hear about Yaya's going to be the next JPP and Joe Tryon. And with the exception of Yaya late in the season, they all crapped in their pants.
Lee, it seems to me that I think the Bucs scored a lot of points in the fourth quarter. A lot of points in the fourth quarter, the offense. So if I'm right about that, Steve, I don't have the quarter-by-quarter breakdown. But I do think the offense scored a lot. How could he be talking about the offense?
I think it's very easy that he could be talking about the offense. Very easy because the inconsistency of the offense, the up and down nature of it. Look at what we saw.
I didn't see any up and down nature. I saw a team that's scoring 25 or 30 points every
week.
He's
talking with, okay, well, then you explain this to me. How did this happen against the Saints final week of the season that the Bucs were trailing 19-13 in a must-win game at home against the Saints? In a must-win game, Atlanta was winning.
What quarter?
After three quarters, the Bucs were trailing to the Saints. Must-win game at home. Atlanta's on the scoreboard. They're winning. They ended up losing in overtime to Carolina.
But Atlanta could have caught the Bucs.
But how did that happen? What did the offense do to score 13 points against a crap team?
Well, I remember Bowles going off on the defense when he walked off the field at halftime. When I think it was Fox, yeah. And they asked him, you know, what's your parting words as you go to the locker room? To this day, I'm floored at Bowles, he would say this. We got to get our heads out of our ass. For Todd Bowles to say that on live TV, I was like, whoa.
Was he talking about both sides of the ball?
I thought he was talking about defense.
Well, I agree with what you're saying on the defense, but I do think it also extends to the offense in the ways of some of the up and down.
On occasion.
Some of the up and down nature of stuff.
They weren't near as up and down as the defense, though.
Well, the defense was just down.
Let's take that game in Atlanta. They scored 30 points. They moved up and down the field. They couldn't stop Cousins. Couldn't stop him. Yeah. He can't move, and they couldn't stop him.
Galling.
509 yards, Lee.
Galling.
Really?
That's the Shiano move. That's galling.
He completed 42 passes, Stephen.
Yeah, Steve,
did you hear what I said?
42.
Ira, look what happened in Dallas.
I mean, I don't know what the NFL record is. Maybe 45 or 50.
Eli Manning against the Bucs?
Most completed passes. 42 completions.
Ira, look what happened in Dallas. Look what happened in Dallas. Must win game, everything on the line.
Backup quarterback
rips them apart, and they can't put enough on the board. Offensive line breaks down. Baker Mayfield gets sacked four times. I think the up and down nature of it is what Bowles is talking about a little bit, but doesn't it start at the top? That's, you know, when you talk about my team's got to get more of a killer instinct, doesn't that start in practice? Doesn't that start with who you put on the roster? Everything.
In the words of Lee. Keep your foot on their neck, right, Lee? Yeah. Keep your foot on their neck. Don't let them breathe.
So
that's a Gruden thing, right?
Yeah.
Don't let them breathe.
Now, it's an interesting subject.
We had never heard him use that phrase, Steve, so that was surprising.
No, and he started, that was his first answer at the NFC Coaches Breakfast on Tuesday. So maybe it was in his mind and he wanted to get it out there right away. I don't know. But I talked to Bowles off to the side, and I asked him about his summer plans a little bit more. And so he told me about... The Ravens is the team that they pushed to play against the Ravens in preseason. They're going to have two joint practices up there and play the Ravens on the road.
That will be a road game, yes.
It's the only road preseason game. So if you want to toughen up, that's who you want to play because John Harbaugh is insane with the preseason games. He goes bananas. He hates everybody who says they're worthless. He'd punch Lee in the face now.
They're worthless. I'll say to his face they're worthless.
And Steve, as physical a team as there is in the National Football League.
And they have a reputation at those joint practices of being super physical. A lot of fans are mad at Roquan Smith of the Ravens for knocking out Chris Godwin. So I find it interesting that Bowles went that direction.
I don't think he picked it by chance, Lee. I think it might have been a very pointed message that he wants to send to his team. We got to get a little tougher mentally, too, Lee. Mentally, too.
He also said they got to get more competitive in practice. Do you think that that's going to be anything that is legitimate, or that's just coach talk?
Sounds a little bit like coach talk.
Yeah, because they can't hit in practice. How the hell are you going to get better?
Yeah, a lot of teams are lamenting those kinds of rules. There's no question about it. But the blowout, Steve, it's just not feasible to expect you're going to get five blowout wins a year. That doesn't happen. Look at the Chiefs last year, right? Every game was 7 points. Now they won freaking all of them.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive. But they didn't win in blowout fashion.
It ain't college football. You don't win by beauty points.
I just say win another game or two than you won last year, and Buck fans are going to be very happy with 11 or 12 wins. How are you going to argue against that?
Well, he wants to get the killer instinct thing in his head, in his veterans' head. And he's going to push them on that. I don't know if you can really teach that. I think that takes the natural ingrained player that you got, that lunatic. I think Baker Mayfield is that guy. I think Mike Evans is that guy. But maybe they don't have enough of those guys. I don't know.
You know, Lee,
that's
a very
good point.
Thinking about it. Steve mentioned the finale against the Saints. Lee, if you go back to 2023 with a game of great import near the end of the season, Saints come to town and they spank them.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was a blowout. So maybe Steve's on to something. Like, you got to approach each game that you are ready to play. And there's too many games in the beginning. The Bucs aren't ready to play. Even though they scored a lot of touchdowns on their opening drives, much improved over previous years, there were some games where they had trouble getting started. Some games.
Shouldn't this team know that by now? Isn't there enough guys on this team that won a Super Bowl that knows they have to show up every week? And we always hear about the Tom Brady effect. And
You're going to have a bad game like the Denver game. All right. It was an anomaly, Lee. They got spanked. And from the first minutes, you know, you and I are watching the game. You go, they don't have it.
Yeah,
they don't have it. And I don't care how good Bo Nix played as a rookie. That shouldn't happen. 26-7, Steve, I think, was the final. You know, Denver was much improved, but you're not supposed to let Denver come into your house and humiliate you.
Especially like when you always hear about, the Heat. You know, we'll take advantage of the Heat, and they're coming from
Denver.
And
the Bucks were 2-0, Lee, at that time.
Yeah.
The Bucks were
coming off a significant road win.
Sage, Devin White going to the Raiders. I know we didn't really address that. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to root against him. Lee, I'm not going to root against him. You saw my column last week, Lee. I didn't call him a bust because you schooled me, and you said, nah, they won a Super Bowl with him, and he was an integral factor. I think you're right.
That's fair.
And so you won me over on that. Jameis, I did call a bust, but White, I wouldn't. Can somebody get through to White from an attitude standpoint? I'm a little dubious because Lavonte David couldn't do it, and you couldn't have a better role model than Lavonte David. Who's on the Raiders that he's going to talk to Max Crosby? You would think his ego's been crushed, Lee. His ego has been crushed from what's happened the last couple of years. He's got to have humility now. Wasn't there a game last year where we were saying, well, what's going on with Devin White, or a couple of years ago, and Bowles didn't know what to say, and he basically said, He said he can't play. Bowles didn't know what to say about Devin White. That really looked bad.
Was that at Green Bay? And I was the only guy to talk to Devin White.
I can't remember.
Ira, Bowles always covered for Devin White. Always. Always covered for him. That was his guy. Even when White wasn't starting, it was, well, you know, KJ is coming up, and we're going with the –
He kind of covers for Jamel Dean a lot, too, Lee.
Well, you know what? If a coach really was honest about his players, would he lose the locker room?
You're right. Probably. Chucky was the same way. He's not going to throw his guys under the bus. And I don't blame him.
Here's what I can say about White. And these two things, it's all you need to know. When he got called up by Sapp for loafing, which was apropos, and Sapp being the next player, I don't think Sapp's guy's going to do that if it's not warranted. And it was warranted.
And Sapp bleeds Bucks.
Yes, he bleeds Bucks. And then when, you know, your number 5 overall pick was a healthy scratch up in Green Bay.
Steve, he went to Philly. He never played a down for the Eagles. He never got on the field
In September, did he?
He never played a game.
No,
he never
played, and he was inactive late in the season for Houston. Didn't play in the playoffs. Played a little
didn't
bit there.
One game in?
A few games.
He played a handful of games in Houston.
He started once.
So, look, now he's with the Raiders. Pete Carroll, Iris, said, quote, what a story he's going to be, talking about Devin White.
Did he say he's going to shock the world? Do we have another shock the world quote to talk about?
Well, he was just, all in, a fantastic addition, and he loves signing players with something to prove. Now, Tom Brady obviously had a relationship with Devin White. What do you think the genesis of all this was? And do you think Brady looks at Devin White and says, Bill Belichick would have signed this guy? Because he signed all these guys who, you know, from Albert Haynesworth to guys who actually worked out, like Garrett Blunt and others. He brought in all these guys that were troubled and had issues, and most of them worked out.
Would you extend that to the Bucs signing Hassan Reddick based on his year with the Jets? Maybe not. Maybe not a direct comparison.
Maybe.
Brady and Devin White. Lee, wasn't there a time with the Bucs where White was carping about not making the Pro Bowl or something? Didn't Brady slap him down a little bit?
Brady told him to shut the hell up, and the only bowl he needs to worry about is the Super Bowl, not the Pro Bowl.
Look, the fact remains, he's got very impressive physical traits.
Kind of like you, Ira.
He can run like a deer, Lee. I mean, there's no question about it.
Maybe he slowed down. Maybe. Something's going on, but we're going to find out.
I want to say, but I can't. No, I don't know anything specifically.
I just don't think he loves football, Lee. And I think that
he loves the money.
That drove Light crazy.
As far as him going with the Raiders, number one, do we expect Pete Carroll to say, oh, he's a dog? Of course.
That's right. That's right.
That's number one. Number two, maybe people in the Raiders organization are channeling Al.
Yes.
Because Al Davis always get
the
these guys.
The cast-offs. Yes.
The cast-offs. You don't bring them in. Plus, and I've said this on your podcast before, Ira, that Michael Lombardi, who used to work for Al Davis, said Al Davis always talked about a guy who was cut, what's his pedigree, meaning where was he drafted? And if a guy was drafted high and he got cut loose, he'd pounce on him. And Al Davis damn near made a living with guys. Greg Pruitt, I remember. There's a bunch of guys. They were high draft picks, didn't pan out. But he signed them and they blew up.
Lyle Zato.
That's another one.
But, Steve, couldn't you argue that White should have been super motivated as an Eagle after being humiliated by the Bucs?
Maybe he was and just wasn't good enough. We weren't there. That's what I'm saying. We don't know where his game is or was.
He's not old, Steve. He's not old.
I got to think it's physical.
I don't know. I just don't know. But if Tom Brady is Mr. Culture, right, Raiders aren't playing for a Super Bowl next year. And obviously, John Spytek, Jason Light's former right-hand man, the Bucs assistant GM, is the new GM there. He's willing to sign Devin White. And Pete Carroll, he could have said, I'm looking forward to getting to know him. I remember how good he was a few years ago. Guy was one of the best in the league. Can't wait to study his game. You know, he didn't say that. He said he's going to be unbelievable. I think it's all very interesting. I can't wait to see how that plays out.
I guess low risk in a sense, Lee.
Very low risk, yeah.
Very low risk. I said, Brady, maybe, hey, I played with the guy. Maybe we could tap into something. Spytek, you know, obviously was part of the team that drafted him and scouted him. And, of course, Pete Carroll's Mr. Everybody. Everybody's great.
We'll see how he plays on a team that's spinning its wheels.
Yeah, we'll see.
They're going nowhere.
We'll see if he makes the team. See if he gets on the team.
I want to see. I think they're going to surprise some people, but that's a tough division.
That looks like the fourth best team in that division.
Exactly.
It does.
Yeah, they're in bad place. And to extend Geno Smith with guaranteed money.
Desperation.
Crazy. I mean, I don't know. It smells like
it's tell Mina Kimes that.
They got Brock Bowers and they got Max Crosby. As far as I'm concerned, that's about all they got.
They got some players, but I think it's going to crash and burn before it gets good over there. But Ira, from the NFL owners meetings, you know, we get to see all these owners and all these people walking around. So we get to see all these guys, and so I walk over to Oceanside Seafood Restaurant, Ira. And so I'm peeking.
You didn't check the prices, did you, Steve?
I checked the prices. I was looking for your famous $29 tuna fish sandwich.
Am I far off?
It was $35. The tuna sandwich.
Just a salad? Or salad?
I didn't memorize the
size. Are you serious,
though?
35,
yes,
35.
Yes, I'm dead serious. So, but it's all glass there, beautiful, and the hostess stand is outside.
Wait a minute. You got over by where the pool is and stuff? They wouldn't let me through. She looked at my badge and said, you can go to the other side, not that
side. I don't know. I got over.
How do you
get
past these things, these ropes?
So anyway, I look in the glass, and there is Al Davis, not Al Davis, Mark Davis.
Mark Davis.
And Spytek and Pete Carroll and some other guy having lunch.
No Brady?
No Brady. So for those wondering, was Tom Brady at the NFL owners meetings? No. He was not seen.
But Serena Williams was.
And meanwhile, Tom Brady lives right down the road. I thought that was very strange. In a lot of ways. I don't know why.
And you go to bed at sunset?
I mean, these owners' meetings, they start 7 a.m. and all that stuff. So I thought that was a little odd for the Brady lovers in the audience. Maybe he's not going to be as involved as we think if he wasn't out there sitting in. You would think Tom Brady would love to speak up in a rules committee meeting.
Yes.
But didn't happen. So very low profile for Brady. But what I did look at, Ira, is one of the things at the media party served was a pecan-crusted grouper.
Now I missed that. I feel terrible.
It might have been the only thing I ate, Ira. It was fantastic, right? I ate a ton of it. So when I was looking at the menu for your famous sandwich, I looked at, they had pecan-crusted grouper on the lunch menu, $61. So I figured I ate $200-something worth of grouper the night before on the NFL.
It's out of control. And by the way, the rooms were $1,500 or $1,600 a night. I stayed in a Motel 6, Lee. I just want you to know that.
All right. So, Lee, Todd Bowles, NFC Coach's Breakfast. You saw his responses, aside from the killer instinct. what grabbed you.
Yeah, let's get some impressions from
what
Mr.
grabbed
DeKemper.
You by the.
Well, I thought I was in a Bangkok hotel about 35 floors up. The ground shook so much under my feet.
Uh-oh.
When I read Bowles said something along the effect that you can't win without scoring points, I just stared at my computer screen. Like, holy cow. And I give him credit for that. Most defensive guys, they're like, you know, stereotypical, keep the game close. We'll
get
win.
A turnover.
But the thing about keeping the game close, you're also keeping the other freaking team in the game. And that drives me crazy.
When Bowles said that, I had to look twice. I thought it was Lee DeKemper that might have said
it. Did you drug the guy or something?
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, maybe we're seeing a new Bowles, because I remember 2 years ago at the Combine, I asked Bowles about Mike Leach, and I always hit you with this, and you bristle when I say it, that Mike Leach always said, people who believe in 50% pass and 50% run are 50% stupid. And he said, you spread the ball around all your weapons. You don't go half run, half pass. I said at the Bowles, and Bowles looks at me, and his eyes twinkle, and goes, yeah, he's right. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then Bowles says, you got to score points. And I thought I was in Bangkok. You know, the damn ground was shaking. I didn't know they had earthquakes in Florida. I couldn't believe it.
Lee, what did you make out of Bowles' answer when I asked him, if Reddick gets the job done, if Reddick plays the way you think he will, and you hope he will, and you get the four-man pass rush, how's that going to filter down to what defensive scheme you're playing in the secondary? Can you be more aggressive?
Of course
you can. I didn't get the answer I was looking for that much. I thought he might say, we ain't going soft anymore if I get that pass rush. We're not playing a soft defense.
Well, I didn't expect him to show his hand.
Yeah.
But if Reddick is that guy.
What if Reddick is that guy?
They're going to make a Super Bowl run. See, what's a Super Bowl run? I said NFC Championship. If they get that kind of pass rush, they're going to go to the NFC Championship.
You know, I look at a team like the 49ers, Steve, tell me, slap me down here. I think the Bucs have a better roster right now than the 49ers.
I hope so.
Oh, heck yeah.
I think they're better.
They purged a lot of talent. I'm not going to out the
Mayfield's
guy.
Mayfield's better than Brock Purdy.
I'm not going to out the guy because I like him, but there's a guy who writes for CBS. He specifically covers the Eagles. This guy had the Bucs as the number 10 NFC team. He had the 49ers over him. The 49ers are purging talent right and left.
And the Bears.
Yeah, that's pie in the sky. But I could see if you're just going by paper, you could put two and two together and get four. I could see that. You got a great quarterback. You got an offensive-minded coach. I could sort of see that. You got a new offensive line. But the 49ers, hell, the 49ers, our Bucks should have beat the 49ers without Evans, without Godwin, and the 49ers have been dumping talent. So I don't get that at all.
I can see the Bucks as the third or fourth best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah.
Before the draft.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is Washington better? I don't know.
Well, I'm going to ask Lee the question that I think a lot of people just popped in their head. Bucks fans, of course. Lee, you telling me that you'd rather have, for next year, Caleb Williams and Baker Mayfield, back-to-back Pro Bowler?
No. I was just saying, if you draft a stud quarterback like Caleb Williams, they had a rebuilt offensive line. Their defense wasn't completely horrible. But he's got some weapons, he being Caleb Williams. I don't agree with it, but I can see how you could make that argument. Like the Bears have improved that much, but not the 49ers. No.
Yeah.
I got you.
Washington's not going away. They got Daniels, and Daniels is... He's really good.
Oh, he's really good, but the Bucs were tooth and nail with
him. Yes, they were.
So,
and beat him in the opener, right? Beat him in the opener.
Pounded him, but to be fair, first game for a rookie
quarterback. Green Bay, I think the Bucs.
They got talent.
Another team that wishes they drafted Bucky Irving. Drafted a running back last year, screwed up. So
their receivers are nothing to write home about.
I see where people always say they're so great. I'm like, I'm outside of one guy who can't stay on the field. I don't see it.
And I think the Bucs might have the better quarterback.
Who's the what?
Over Green Bay.
Who's the what? Is it Watson, one of their receivers?
Yeah, Christian Watson.
I think he's really good, but
he's hurt all the time.
Yes, he's always hurt.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. This is a restoration company. That means whenever you have damage to your property, home, business, water damage, flood damage, mold, it's a killer, fire damage, of course, awful, storm damage, we know about that in Florida. You call them 24/7, and they come out with the best technology, trained people, and they'll give you a free evaluation at your home. What more could you ask for, Ira?
And you call them before you call your insurance company.
If you're
very
smart.
Important.
If you're smart, that's what you do.
Why? Because Josh has experience on that side. Of the
football.
Issue too.
He plays defense and offense.
Right. He's a little Travis Hunter. That's what he is.
So it's just that simple, Ira. Josh Martin, the owner, he has got Bucks fans' backs, and he's got experience. His team, 25-plus years on the insurance side of the industry. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount as well. You call up, you mention, hey, I heard about you guys on JoeBucksFan.com. Doesn't matter what time of day. Ira Kaufman told me to head over here. And if you need their services, if you need to sign up with them, they'll give you $500 back. They do a lot more than just restoration. They do repairs. They can get your whole property back up to speed. Check out the website. I'm going to emphasize that. Get it in your phone. Put it in your disaster plan. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Okay, Ira, you've been dealing with Joel Glazer since you bought the team.
It's only only 30 years, Lee. Only 30 years.
Yeah. The video that I saw of him, I don't think I've ever seen him, A, that relaxed. Number two, he really seems to love not just the makeup of the team, but how they acquired it. And this will rankle some fans. Some fans, I read a comment today on JoeBucksFan.com. This has got to be Bowles last year. It's either do or die.
They're still saying it?
Oh, yeah, but Bowles is not popular.
I know what you're going to say, Lee.
But Glazer seems absolutely right. Bosom buddies almost. That's the impression I got.
Lee, you're not wrong about Joel Glazer's disposition.
Good word.
He is relaxed. He is confident. Now, you might bristle a little about this because one of the points that Glazer made is the culture. He's big on culture. And
I wish someone would come up with a different word.
Yeah, chemistry. He talked about chemistry.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think it's palpable. We're around the team all the time. I don't think it's an overstatement to say this is a very tight football team. They play for one another. That counts, Lee. That counts. There's no little cliques where I think in the past where there were a couple of players that are no longer Buccaneers, there were cliques. I don't see it now. Everybody's got everybody else's back. And Glazer's expecting big things from the Bucs this year. He's not putting a price on Bowles' head. You got to go 14-3. But I think he'd be very, very disappointed if they were one and out or didn't make the playoffs or weren't one and out again. He likes this roster. I like this roster. And he likes Bowles. He thinks Bowles is doing a good job. The arrow's going up.
Yeah.
There you go. And in the words of Light, it's an ascending franchise. And it's a young franchise. What they've done here is kind of remarkable. Off the Brady years and then getting younger and still being relevant.
Still
not
winning
easy.
The division. Yeah.
Not easy.
I also got the impression that he really likes, number one, the people that Light's bringing in, as opposed to years ago when Bruce Allen and Chucky were like, through the slums.
Gallery.
Yeah. Also, he likes how Light is plugging holes. He's plugging holes with young players who will be around a while. I just get the impression that everything about this team, with the possible exception of their win-loss record, he loves it.
Steve, I think he's taken great satisfaction, personal satisfaction, out of players like Godwin and others that had a chance to leave and that were, you know, I think coveted perhaps if they hit the free agent market, Evans, and they want to come back. Steve, that's a big thing for Joel Glazer. And he gives Bowles some of the credit for that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going in with a very positive attitude. Steve, 2 years ago, when they went 8-9, even though they won a division, I don't think he felt that way about this franchise. I think the last 2 years in particular have really buoyed his spirits. He's a confident owner right now, Steve.
Yeah, look, they're all in on Todd Bowles. And for the fans who don't like Todd Bowles, and there's many of them, keep dreaming because that's all it is right now. If you're dreaming of a new head coach, it's not going to happen.
Some guy slapped me around in the comments section today saying Iris suggesting maybe they should address an extension for Bowles. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Well, at some point, they're going to have to discuss it, unless he falls on his ass.
I would not be surprised if he extended Bowles. Just the way that Joel Glazer talks about him, for those punching their windshields right now, I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just saying my view of what Joel Glazer, his actions, his words, I would not be surprised if Bowles got an extension. Buzz Williams. You guys know who Buzz Williams is? He used to be basketball coach at Marquette. And then he took the job at Virginia Tech. He took over from Seth Greenberg. Then he went to Texas A&M. Now he just took the gig at Maryland. So you're thinking, wait a minute, this guy bounces around a lot. Well, I saw a video today where he knows Buzz Williams back from his Marquette days. And he said Buzz Williams, in his career trajectory, tried to figure out why coaches leave after 6 or 7 years. So he did a bunch of research. And what he found out was, coaches basically get 6 years. After about 6 years, unless they have a championship under their belt, fans get fed up and frustrated, and they want results now. Otherwise, you can't do it. So if you're at a place...
And the coach's message gets a little old at the same time?
Possibly. But Buzz Williams, it's about specifically college basketball, but I think it applies to the NFL. You got 6 years to win a title.
Some owners won't give you 6 years, Lee. Some won't even give you.
But some that have success. But he's talking about Buzz Williams, he would take over a bad program, have some success, toy with a run in the tournament, but they wouldn't quite get to the Final Four. But after about 6 years, like, hey, this Elite Eight or this Sweet 16, enough of that. Let's go to the next level. And I thought of Father Dungy. Isn't that what Father Dungy had, like 6 or 7 years?
Six,
and,
yeah.
And people got fed up with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, six.
Like,
yeah,
enough.
Yeah.
What do you
and
think
they were
of
spinning
that?
Their wheels, the
yeah,
Bucks, at that time. I think that makes sense. Steve, a little news that came out, and you were standing right there when Joel Glazer addressed it. Serious renovations to Raymond James? Steve, what were your impressions of what he was saying?
Hey, look, it's all nonsense. They're thinking about it. They're talking about it. This is stadium stuff. It's not real until it's real. So
they put some shade into the playing field for the fans?
They can do all kinds of – no, not the playing field.
No,
they
but
can,
you know what I mean.
They
stands.
Can, an overhang.
They
can, that helps.
Fans.
Oh, helps. My gosh, yes, that helps. Keep the temperature 20 degrees down, of course. About 2 weeks ago, Sports Business Journal – had a big thing about stadiums. They basically said Hillsborough County, they're gearing up. They know it's coming. The Glazer family is going to want a new stadium or major renovations. It's coming. And the Bucks are the crown jewel of the Tampa Bay area. And so people always scream, why won't Tampa build a stadium for the Rays? Because they don't have the money. They're saving up for the Bucks and quite possibly the Lightning as well. By the way, the Lightning's arena is older than the stadium.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the money isn't here to buy three cribs or to build three cribs. Pinellas County has money. That's why you're always hearing about Pinellas County and the Rays.
Ira Kaufman, you've said you think ownership had something to do with Todd Bowles hiring a game management guy.
I think they did.
So I asked Joel Glazer, is that something you were involved in or talking about, or how do you feel about it? And he gave an answer. He didn't say we weren't involved. He said Todd always reflects on his season.
Right.
Great thing about Todd is that he reflects and see where things went well, didn't, et cetera, always trying to improve. And he said, hats off to Todd for identifying an area that he thinks we can improve, and that could do nothing but help us next season.
The way I would describe it, Lee, is I think Bowles needed a little nudge in that direction. A little nudge. I didn't think the Glazers ordered him to do anything. Not that. Not draconian like that.
I think two things about this. The first one's going to freak people out. Maybe it's just me. This is, in my mind, no doubt about the most overblown story of the offseason.
It could be.
But I think if this is a story, which I don't think it is, where I think the story is, not so much that Todd Bowles decided, okay, I got to get somebody. He had somebody. That person's name is Jackie Davidson. Why wasn't she good enough? And there's a sidebar story to this as well. You learned, Ira, late in the season, I won't out your source, but it's a big shot with the Bucks. Told you that Todd Bowles, Jackie Davidson didn't determine go for it or not, or call a timeout, or what. She gave up Bowles' advice. Bowles had the final say. Does he have the final say with this guy as well? If he does, what's the big deal? I don't get it.
Well, wasn't the story that Bowles had three different voices in his head? That doesn't work, Steve. That
yeah, Bowles
work.
Has final say. Ira and I talked to Dave Canales about this at the owners' meetings about game management guy.
Good source.
Canales has a full-time guy. And Canales explained, and Bowles touched on this a little bit, but Canales really explained it to us in standing over. Ira was eating some sort of shrimp roll
or
something.
Why am I always eating in these stores?
Canales explained that his full-time game management guy, the process starts in March. They have meetings to go over scenarios,
situational
data,
football.
Situation. And it's
which is smart.
It's full-time as in all year round.
Okay, I see what you're getting. Whereas Jackie Davidson's worried about contracts, and she's worried about football team analytics.
So she was,
I see.
She
okay.
was very part-time.
Okay,
These game management, clock management guys, I got the feeling from Canales, like Canales will spend an hour and a half a week year round with his game management, clock management guy. So by the time the season comes, these guys are in lockstep. They know what's going on. And I asked Canales later, I asked him, how often do you listen to the guy? And he gave me an answer. I can't give it here. But, you know, he's got that freedom as well.
Okay, so now it makes sense.
Guys, let me throw this out there, because I think this is going to be a big issue, Lee. I don't like two of the things that came out of West Palm Beach, including that shrimp cocktail that I had at
$38
the
tuna fish sandwich?
What the hell are you doing moving the kickoff to the 35-yard line? That is nuts.
I know why.
You're
going to
see a lot of kick returns this year.
That's what they want, right?
I'm not giving a team the ball at the 35-yard line. They get one first down in the freaking McLaughlin's kicking a 62-yarder.
Two passes.
This is nuts.
Two passes. But, I mean, it wasn't that specifically why they're doing it? They want more returns?
Absolutely. But I thought the big thing is too many injuries on kickoff returns.
Oh, don't get me going about those injuries.
Oh, boy.
You know, we can't have the tush-push because it's going to create injuries, even though there's no evidence it creates injuries. But we think so because we talked to a palm reader on Madeira Beach.
Here's
but
the
we're going to have an 18th game.
Stevie, here's the other one. I think this was a big mistake. Big mistake.
What happened to just moving the kickoff back? Right, so they
yeah,
kick
well, that's
off.
Another one, yeah.
They kick off from the 35.
Yeah, they could have done that.
Just
injuries.
Back.
Here's a bigger mistake, Lee. You gotta make the regular season overtime 15 minutes. You can't chop it down to 10. And I'll tell you why.
You know why they're doing it?
I'll tell you why. I get the ball. I want the ball now.
Oh yeah.
If it's 10 minutes. If it's 15 minutes, I'm kicking off. If it's 10 minutes, I want the ball.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Four corners offense.
A long drive. 9:10. Take off the clock. 9:10. I'm kicking a field goal. You got 50 seconds to do your business. And it could be even worse than that. Where you're very rarely ever going to see a 14-minute drive, but you might see a 9-minute drive.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen? When you get to 9 minutes, the defense is going to let the offense score a touchdown.
I thought the same thing.
That's what's going to happen.
I thought they're going to
olay. They're going to try to score a touchdown and maybe get a two-pointer
they're
and win
gonna,
a freaking
they're
gonna game.
They're going to olay, yep.
They're going to olay, and the offense doesn't want to score a touchdown at that point. That's not good.
That's a very valid. Wait, that's a very good point.
The playoffs is a 15-minute overtime. You should match the regular season to the playoffs.
I agree with you football-wise.
Tell me why they made it a 10 minutes.
It's a college football reference, but this is why. The reason why they monkeyed with overtime in college football is the lawyers are paranoid about the number of snaps. So if they went, which they should, like I agree with you, went to a 15-minute overtime as opposed to a 10, here come the lawyers. Oh, well, you know, we're going to get sued about concussions because you're adding more snaps to the game.
More stress, more, yeah.
Meanwhile, let's not talk about the 18th game.
Sage, how many 9-minute drives are there?
Plenty. enough that it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem.
If you, I was on the money on this.
Rare.
And I think it'll be more tie games. Nobody wants that.
It's still a chess match, Ira. And I think they've enhanced the chess match of it all. Right, okay, so I want the ball, right?
If it's 15 minutes, I don't want the ball. So I know exactly what I need
like
to do.
Like college overtime, yeah.
I'm going to let the other team have the ball and let's see what
Where's
they do.
Where's your killer instinct? Come on. You can't play for Todd Bowles.
You don't have. There's no killer instinct because I'm getting a possession.
What happened?
I'm guaranteed a possession.
What happened to putting pressure on the opponent? What is that? You go step on their throat, go score a touchdown.
I got the perfect answer, Lee, and nobody could argue it. If you go second, you get an extra down because you know what the hell you need to do. And
four,
if you're behind,
you
go
down.
For it on fourth down.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
If you go second, if you go first, you don't have that luxury.
That's a good point.
How do you like that, Steve?
Well,
I was ready.
You know who would disagree with you? Washington, the Eagles. There are a lot of teams that would say, no, we do have fourth down. That's how we play football. So,
but there's not even any discussion if you got the ball second. You know exactly what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of 9-minute drives.
All right.
And if
well, you've been watching too many
Arena
too much
games?
Jacksonville football.
No, yeah. what I'm saying is, if I get an 8-minute drive for a touchdown, the other team still has 2-minute drill and timeouts to go score.
Okay,
which happens all the time in the NFL, and they're going to get the ball at the 35 anyway.
Minimum.
So,
I don't like that 35-yard line.
Two passes, you're in field goal range.
Who in overtime is going to allow a return? Who's that mental? You know,
you're going to see a lot of kickoff returns.
Yeah,
no question about it.
Not an overtime, but not an overtime. So it's a wild scenario. Anything else from Joel Glazer, Ira?
I think we need to wrap up here, Steve. We've covered the waterfront over here. And
Glazer, Ira, what do you think? 8.5
Well, you had 9 different discussions with Glazer.
Right.
I only had 2, so I'll flip it back to you.
You were too busy with Sean Payton.
Joel Glazer's press conference with the local media that was out there, Ira, 8.5 minutes. 5-6 years ago, he used to sit down.
Is that because you ran out of questions, Steve?
No, not at all.
So it was cut off.
Cut off. Same thing short last year.
He doesn't talk at the end of the season.
2018, 2019, before that, he would sit down 20 minutes with the Tampa Tribune alone. Sit down 20 minutes with us, other outlets. Now it's 8 minutes together. What do you think of that?
He's a busy man, right?
Tell me what you think.
Because part of it could be if the meetings are in Florida, he figures there's going to be a lot of media outlets, and he doesn't want to do
nonsense.
Too many separate.
Oh,
you're not buying it, Steve. You're not buying it. I would like the individual.
I'm telling you, look, 7 years ago, he spent an hour and 15 minutes with 4 media outlets independently, combined. Now, 8 minutes? That's a big difference.
What if he gave 22 minutes, but he did it in a media scrum? You're still upset?
I'm not asking about hypotheticals. I'm saying, what do you think about cutting down to 8.5 minutes?
He's not letting you off the hook, Ivan.
Not letting you off the hook.
I don't think it's adequately because he doesn't talk at the end of the season. He doesn't. And by the way, he doesn't talk at the beginning of the season either, which I'd like. I'd like him to do on towards the end of training camp or the beginning of training camp. Brian Glazer used to talk, but only for a minute or two. But at least he did talk. Mm-hmm. And he would gather up people. Remember when training camp opened?
Yeah,
I remember. That's gone. And that's gone. I don't think Light talked at the end of the season. Glazer didn't talk at the end of the season.
Bowles did.
And Bowles did.
No, you did.
Bowles did. Yeah, Bowles did. I'm going to be with you on this one, Steve. Eight and a half minutes.
I'm going to pull in his bits. It's his words, not mine. I'm putting your feet to the fire. You always rail about Jerry Jones.
Yes.
And now Glazer, he talks once or twice a year.
I want the happy medium. I want the happy
What is that happy meeting?
Talk at the end of the season, talk in the beginning of training camp, and talk at the owner's meeting.
I got to tip my cap to Jerry Jones for this reason. On the day the stock market crashed, and yes, I bought a bunch of stock, buy low, sell high. On the day the stock market crashed, only Jerry Jones Cowboys could take over Twitter about a transaction where they got a backup quarterback.
You mean Joe Milton? That guy? I heard people talking about it like this guy is Brett Favre.
Only Jerry Jones' Cowboys. He built the monster.
Built
the monster.
And I got a question for you. In your 9 private discussions with Buck Ownership.
You're obsessed with that,
Did you get any?
Am I taking the torch
He's personal.
From you?
He's personal.
No, I hope you're not.
I was taking it personal.
Did you get any inkling of what the plans are for training camp and the fans? The regular fans, the diehards. Or is that a discussion for another time, Steve?
The Bucs know where we stand.
They do.
On that.
And I'm very proud of where we stand.
And
we're the only ones doing it, holding their feet to the fire.
And they get ticked off about it.
And, that's not going to change. When I reported that the Bucs will be having joint practices with the Ravens up in Maryland, I looked at the training camp schedule of last year for the Ravens. Every practice available to the public. Now they don't
have just season ticket holders.
Every practice is open. Now, there's a scramble for tickets. It only seats like 1,100 or something like that, smaller than $1, but they wide open. So, it's just one of those things, Sage. One of those things. Ownership, I wish we could talk about it, Ira. And the fun stuff, like when Ira, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, says to Joel Glazer at the owner's party, "Tell me about this Liam Cohen mess. Come on, spill it. Spill it. Blah, 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 blah." Yeah, we can't share his answer, but Sage hits the owners with a lot of questions.
You waste
like
no
that.
Time, Ira. You go for the jugular.
No time.
It's stuff that may appear in Ira's book down the road.
During my discussion with Sean Payton, and I didn't mention this on our podcast, Steve.
Was Diana Rossini there at that time?
She was.
You're smitten with her,
aren't
you?
I'm smitten with the shrimp cocktail. But Sean Payton and Parcells are very close.
Yeah.
And so I told my Parcells story, I said that when the Bucs played the Dolphins in a preseason game and the Trib was still, alive and well, Roy and I went to Miami. The game started at 7:30. We show up at 5:30. You go in the lobby. You take the elevator up. And Parcells was involved with the Dolphins at that time. As a matter of fact, I think he was,
president.
Sure. And I think he turned him around.
Yes,
like,
he did.
A remarkable turnaround.
This is kind
Bowles
of
was one of
I
his...
think I walked past you at this time, and I heard you screaming, "Tony Sparano!" And then I kept going.
So we're getting in the elevator, and here comes Parcells, and he's going up to his suite or whatever. And some guy that works for, Dolphin Digest. But, he's affiliated with the team a little bit. He gets in the elevator with us. There's four of us. So I think Parcells recognized me. I used to cover him when he was with the Giants. He replaced Ray Perkins, who I also covered. And Parcells, by the way, almost got fired.
Yes.
One year he went 3-12-1. They were going to fire him. And I think they wanted to hire Howard Schnellenberger.
Mm.
And he turned the job down.
Oh,
and Parcells
right?
got to keep his job.
Wow.
And 3 years later, he won the Super Bowl. Anyway, so I'm telling this story. And Parcells had really slimmed down. He looked slender and he didn't when he was with the Giants.
Yeah.
So he recognized me, gave me the heads up. And I go, "Bill, you're looking svelte. What's going on?" He goes, "Been doing a lot of running." Now, with the guy from Dolphin Digest standing behind Parcells, I said to him, "Yeah, away from the media is from what I'm hearing, most of your running." And the guy from Dolphin Digest, he cringed like, "You said that to the great Parcells?" And just then, we reached his floor. We were going to five. He was going to three. And the door opened, and he took three steps out. He turned back around, and he goes, I miss you, Ira. I miss that kind of stuff. Peyton loved it. Rossini loved it. She grabbed my elbow, and that was one of the highlights.
Now, is she going to get you on the podcast with PFT Commenter?
I'm waiting to join the Sean Payton podcast or the Rossini podcast.
All right, Ira, we will have plenty of draft talk next week. We are less than 3 weeks away.
We got a little time with light next week, Steve. Yes, we do. A little time.
We'll
with
be
light.
Really on the draft next week. Very exciting as the march toward Bucks improvement is upon us. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. Mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And Florida's Elite Restoration. Thank you. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are the best in the business, covering the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond across the state. Ira, say goodbye to Bucks fans. What do they need to know as you head into this great week?
Well, one quick question. Are we still at 400 reviews on our podcast, Steve, or have we gone over the 400 mark? Because we want more reviews.
400.
All right, 400. Lee, for the next 3 weeks, we're Draft Central. We're Draft Centric, and we're Draft Central. And we know a few things about the way the Bucks are leaning or not leaning, and we'll dribble out a few nuggets along the way.
See you later, Tampa Bay.